is not a gambling expert. He's one of the many people who have used Twitter and social media to somehow become famous, and that's what they're all about. And that tweet was, hey, look at me. I'm better than you. I've got information, but I won't give it to you. And you're not serving. If you're truly a journalist or truly an expert in the field, you're not doing your job if you throw crap out like that.
He's a tour. He doesn't understand gambling. That's the problem.
And RJ, this is a dangerous period because you have people who are moving Johnny-come-latelys into gambling. It's fine. Move into the space. There's money to be made. But people read that guy, and that's who they're learning sports gambling from. That is not good moving forward.
Oh, listen, it's dangerous because there's real money involved, right? And I'll be honest with you. I'll tell you right now. I got to do more of this. I won't even mention the name because it's someone that went at me once, and I went at him back pretty hard.
Sorry.
Right? Say it again?
He said sorry.
Oh. Ah, no.
Jerk.
Adam would be a good battle, though.
Yes.
I don't know if you heard. He went to he got good grades in college, Adam did.
He did. He's a smart guy.
This fellow was on a show. And he's an older gentleman, right? And, you know, sometimes used to watch things, you know, live, looking live. And this guy was on and they said, well, why do you like this bet? Because the math of it was on a podcast, I guess. And the math of it was wrong. It was like, boy, the math of it seems to not back this up. And this was the quote. It was, I don't care about all those numbers. I don't care about all the rationale. I care about winners. It's like, what? And that's the thing. Fezzik might think Team A is better. I might think Team B is better. That's fine. There's no right or wrong to that. Or if there is, only God knows, right? But there's some things wrong. If you buy a half point in football from 5 to 5.5 for a dime, it's wrong. There's never a right, right? And these guys who don't know the rules, because it takes 20 years to learn them, wants to act like they want to poo-poo the rules. And that, to me, is the dangerous thing. It's not even when they get it wrong, because then at least then someone can correct them. It's if they're acting like the rules don't matter, because for them, that's how they can compete. I mean, some guy that's never been a professional bettor, never been in Vegas for any length of time, how's he going to compete with me when it comes to depth of knowledge? He's not. So what does he have to do? He has to invalidate knowledge itself.
Mm-hmm.
To me, that's very dangerous. And Adam, I'll be honest with you. I know where you lean politically. It feels a lot like what someone on the left claimed the right tries to do, a war against truth, right? A war against facts, fake news. Well, isn't I expect you, Adam Hill, to be just as much fighting against the war against knowledge and sports betting.
He does it all the time, and he pisses people off. Who was the guy? I don't know. I think he's actually with Action Network as well. There was some guy at Sports Insights who wanted to keep saying what? That a game was an upset when it wasn't basketball?
Yeah.
Because it was based on a higher-ranked team lost, but the team that was unranked was actually favored, so it was not a freaking upset. And, like, even that that's factual. Even that basic discussion, the guy got all pissed off and blocked him.
Listen, if you have – I'll be honest with you. I've got the same 10 pounds I've wanted to lose for a while, right? So I got a little belly. If someone said, hey, RJ, take a picture with your shirt off, I'd be like, no, thank you, right? Because I want to hide what I don't like. These guys want to hide their ignorance. So someone like Adam, who's very factual, and if he's strong on something, he's going to be right a vast majority of the time, they're threatened by him. We just got to keep fighting the good fight. And oh, by the way, Steve, I know we got to run. I got one last five-second thing.
Yeah.
His Twitter handle is at RJ in Vegas.
Just to make sure everyone knows where all the action is.
You're bringing your own drops to the show.
Hey, RJ, I loved that. Can you send me that, please? Please? I want that to be my ringtone.
He owns that. He owns that.
Trademark, RJ Bell.
See ya.
Bye, guys.
There you go. At RJ in Vegas. Yeah, that Revelle thing was just ridiculous. But yeah, you've got pretend gambling expert. And that guy's never been an expert in anything. And that's why he's also been unveiled so many times. Just getting duped on stories. Didn't he got fooled by like a 12-year-old. He got strung along for a week on a story by like a 12 or 14-year-old.
Yeah. I honestly, we had a big battle, and I don't remember what it was.
Oh, you and Revelle?
Yeah.
Probably on gambling.
No, it was about UFC.
Oh, about UFC? He'll do that, too. He's a UFC expert. He steals stuff from Vegas all the time, and that's how he's built much of his existence.
Cofield and Company will be back in 90 seconds. ESPN Radio, 1100 and 100.9 FM, is KWWN Las Vegas, K265 EZ. Battleborn Injury Lawyers presents the Big Five at Five, number five.
5 o'clock hours here, Adam Hill, Cofield, Chrissy. Well, I hate doing this back-to-back because it just sounds like we're just annihilating media people. I like most people in the media. I think they're very good. Certainly those who do their job, can dish it and take it, you respect them, right? Well, there's another guy who's out there, like a Ravel type, but he's actually even more legendary in terms of being a putz, and that's Jim Gray. And what's our history with Jim Gray here at the station?
Well, I mean, the most notable one is there was a big dust-up between him and our old friend Mitch Moss.
Yes. We were doing an interview down at the Super Bowl, and Jim Gray got all pissy. And
as he often does.
Yeah. Don't do sports radio if you can't have a casual conversation. And the angle was, hey, you've got an unbelievable Rolodex. Like, you know everyone in sports. And that's the direction he went in. And Jim Gray just was, like, incredulous. He couldn't understand where it was going. And he got all nasty about it. And
that's the crazy thing.
Mitch said,
it was a compliment.
Mitch was like, okay, goodbye. And guess what? The same exact interview happened at this year's Super Bowl with dudes in Boston. But it's Toucher and Rich. And this is going to sound like they're really good. And they're not going to take it. And I watched a video of this. Jim Gray sits down, and the look on the one host's face, I thought he was going to punch Jim Gray right in the freaking grill. You got to hear where this goes. They're simply trying to build the story. Jim Gray has lots of important connections, like Tom Brady and freaking Oprah.
It was the Oprah Winfrey special that he did Super Soul Sunday. It was kind of funny because he's doing the interview, and then very out of nowhere, it seemed kind of strange, behind the camera, it was Giselle, one of the producers, and you were there for the taping of the Oprah interview. So what was the story with you being part of that Oprah thing?
I was invited to dinner by Oprah, so I came to dinner.
But that
you
was
know
like,
her like that?
Really?
Should that be surprising? That I'm sure you have friends.
It already starts.
I can't. Like I almost have to leave. I can't even. I can't. His voice and just his attitude about everything is infuriating.
Yeah, I was invited to dinner, so
I'm not friends with Oprah.
But that
well,
wasn't
okay. Oprah's a big deal.
But that wasn't dinner. That was a taping of a show. So
it happened right before dinner.
At Tom Brady's house?
No.
Was that filmed at Tom Brady's house?
No.
Where was it filmed?
Where Oprah films her stuff.
And that's
California.
Where you guys
I live in Los Angeles.
Okay, and that's where you guys were having dinner?
Well, right by there, yes.
You seem to be very secretive about this.
Well, why would my dinner plans be of any interest to anybody?
No,
I'm trying to answer the question, so I was invited Oprah to dinner, so I went to dinner.
But it was because you...
Because Oprah's famous, and Tom Brady was filming something, and you happened to be there. That doesn't...
Right.
They're two very famous people, and then there's Jim Gray.
Well, I know Tom.
Right.
Oprah knows Tom. Stedman knows Tom. Oprah knows my wife. We're all friends. So why not have a dinner? So that's what that was.
I'll tell you, the look on the guy, I think it's Toucher. His face, because he's right next to him. He is staring. It's like fire going through his freaking eyes. Because Jim Gray will not answer the question. And I'm telling you, folks, this is a carbon copy of what he did with us during the Super Bowl 5 years ago. He is just an insufferable prick. Dude, we don't care about your football knowledge. It's minimal. We don't care about your interviews. They suck. If you sit down with us, it's sports radio. We're going to try to be a little topical. He just doesn't get it. And then there's this arrogant attitude. Listen to the end. It's the same ending he had with us.
I don't know what you're trying to... Get to the end point. I mean,
all right,
what
worry.
Are you trying
don't
to figure
don't
out?
Worry about
okay,
it.
Okay,
you don't
want
to be here. All right. We'll have the headline.
Well, real quick. Are the questions when you...
That's
when
what you wanted?
You just won't answer any questions. It's boring. I mean, you're being defensive and looking at me weird.
That's a stupid question.
But real quick.
All right, then I don't want to ask...
a stupid question.
Okay,
what
it's
were
a
you
stupid
doing?
Question.
What were you doing having dinner with somebody?
No, we didn't know you were having dinner.
I just told you, and he didn't like the answer.
Well,
oh, Jesus, Jim, just go. Do whatever you have to do. Bye. Here's the headlines.
Good luck to you.
From downtown Fair Tires.
Love it. You're off. Kicked out. What'd he say at the end? Good luck to you. Same exact thing he said. I guess that's how he reacts. Dude, people hate you. Okay?
How could you not?
People hate that guy, and he has no idea. I guess maybe he doesn't care. We get sent stuff from Showtime all the time to have him on for the fights. Like, why? No, he's banned for life. He's boring. The host said it. You suck.
Why would anyone
have... What is with the attitude?
Hey, you just had dinner with Oprah and Tom Brady. That must have been cool. Why are you asking me? Like, it's a very intriguing story. What is wrong with him?
Horrific. And there's nothing better than... I pulled it yesterday. You guys saw me pull it yesterday. Right?
Yeah.
Do you remember what I did? We went out to lunch. We encountered a rude waitress. We simply asked for a bigger table. It looked like they didn't have a bigger table, but she wouldn't even budge. And I was like, all right, let's go. Going right down the road to this place. And she was like, what? Like, yeah. But this is... You're wasting... Listen, I'm a radio guy, so I get offended when people come on and won't participate. Just say you don't want to do it!
Yeah, I don't know what
you're screwing our audience by wasting their freaking time! And you know what's the worst thing about this guy? Not only does he do that, but we'll tell you, rumors have it that after his little dust-up with Mitch, then he went out of his way to try to keep the guy from getting a job. So that will never be forgotten, my friend.
No.
Never.
And I believe me, I know the story and I've heard it too.
Yes.
He is insufferable and not interesting. And you should be thankful anybody wants to talk to you. Why would anybody want to talk to that guy?
I couldn't believe the interview unfolded the same way. I guess I should. That's the way he is all the time.
Again, Mitch was just being complimentary.
Yep.
If you... Like, we went to the story. Mitch was like, hey, you've had a really cool career. You've done a great job meeting all these people. That's really awesome. Where are you going with this? Screw you.
No, it's kind of funny.
I don't know why anybody cares to talk to that guy, ever.
It's funny, the video kept rolling, and then the sound went off. Because I love what the guy did. He's like, all right, headlines.
See ya.
Right? And then you could see them talking. I would love to know what the conversation was after. I can't believe that the guy, I think it was Toucher, because they're all seated, right? I can't believe he didn't get up and just stand over him and go, get out! Leave! Now! That's it!
We should have him on.
Who?
Toucher.
And yeah,
then,
we should.
But then, when he comes on, he'll be like, why are you asking me about this? It's boring.
No, he wouldn't.
I know he wouldn't.
He's an entertaining radio guy. Here's the thing, folks. Whether you find the content, as a subject of an interview, whether you find the content interesting or not, you play along. All right? Yeah. I would never go on someone's radio show, TV show. You know, we all encounter this in life, by the way. There's hundreds of conversations I have every year. I don't want to be there. I'm not interested. But you act like a human being and be respectful and play along.
Well,
but this guy can't do it.
And don't worry. You listeners will not be exposed to that. He will not be. As long as I'm here, he's not on.
Ooh, look at you.
Yeah, he's not on here.
Well, I've changed my mind. He's coming on. Want a showdown. I overrule you now. I wouldn't do that to the audience.
I just have a quick question. Everybody saw AB's really intense exchange with him after his loss. Adrian Broner's.
Right.
Yeah.
Is that warranted now? After hearing this, I'm like, go,
no,
AB.
I was very supportive of Adrian
Broner. I mean, it wasn't warranted, but, you know, maybe it's in response to some stuff that happened behind the
scenes.
Who knows?
Thinking.
Yeah. I go back. I still, because people immediately on Jim Gray will always mention, oh, the Pete Rose interview, he was such a jerk there. He was dogged, and his delivery can be obnoxious, so I can embrace that. But I didn't hate him for that. But it's more of the stuff off the air. And when he does this, you're like, who? Come on, man.
He's a child. An absolute child.
Just grow up.
Will you come on?
Can you imagine being that much of a jerk and yet thinking that highly of yourself?
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Just unbelievable.
Next up.
Number 4.
All right, so what do we got tomorrow with the Rebels? People are going to be fired up. 6-4 right now in conference. You beat Fresno tomorrow. You got 3 really winnable games after that. Air Force killed them the first time around, but they should be fired up to play Air Force at home. Then 2 on the road against 1-17 combined, Wyoming and San Jose. This is a big, big game tomorrow. At the media day today, they had availability. We spoke to Noah Robotham, and he mentioned why it's important for fans to pack the Mac.
I think, you know, I love the Thompson Mac. Obviously, I love the people here in Las Vegas. And, you know, it means a lot to us to have those people come to our games, how the fans come out to games. And it's big for recruiting. You know, I'm not going to get into all ins and outs about that, but you know, we got three players on this team with little brothers all in the top seven, you know, in the recruiting. So all that stuff matters. You never know who's going to be at the game. And, you know, we need that. We feed off that energy. You know, we're a young group of guys, and, you know, guys, you know, look towards the crowd sometimes for that emotion, and we're going to need them if we want to win big games here in Las Vegas.
Is there anything wrong with what he said?
No.
About recruits and crowds? We posted this today, and we got pushback from some fans who were like, again, incredulous that someone mentions in the UNLV program that crowds help recruiting.
I mean,
I don't know how you can fight it. Okay, ready? Here's a player, who's mentioning that there's big recruits in town, echoing the feelings of players, the recruits.
I mean, I don't know who would be fighting back against that.
I don't get it. I got to tell you, as I visited schools, would it be the only thing I would take into account? No. But when you're 17, 18, and you go into a place that has 16,000 rabid fans, it's going to be impressive.
Yeah.
That is a factor.
And even if your take is, well, if the good recruits come, then they'll be good, and then we'll go watch them, like, the point is, a lot of kids will be like, wow, they're like this when the team is okay? Imagine when I come and they're good, it's going to be insane here. Like, no matter what, it helps to be out there and to make it a better atmosphere, to make it a more enticing place to go play.
Number three.
There's been so many crazy stories in the NBA looking forward to what's going to happen in the offseason. Obviously, Anthony Davis and the rumors there, and, you know, mentioning the Celtics, his dad saying, I'm not going to go to the Celtics. And we've had some big ones. One of the stories that got kind of buried quickly was Kyrie Irving. He pulled one out one day, you know, when Porzingis moves on, Knicks are a candidate, and he throws something out there like, I'm not officially a done deal yet with the Celtics. Ainge is trying to be glass half full on this, right?
Yeah. I mean, he's saying that a lot of people thought that it was a marriage when Kyrie went to sign there, and he said it really wasn't. He said, the way I viewed the situation is that I think a lot of people, because of his announcement, thought it was a marriage. I think that it's more like an engagement, and we're going to get married on July 1st. I think that engagement is still on, as far as I know. It's a very romantic story, Steve, that they're engaged. It's this nice courtship that's still going on, and then the marriage will be consummated on July 1st, I guess.
Well, I was going to make a Bezos joke about highest bidder will get Kyrie Irving, but that's really not the way it works.
He really kept it going, too. You're right. I like that.
He kept it going?
He kept it going, too. In my individual conversations with Kyrie, we're still engaged. But we really can't make those vows, sign that contract, until July 1st. Like, he really wants to carry on this analogy. It's a little bit ridiculous.
You two have similarities that way.
That's true. We can't drop it. Can't let it go. That's fair.
Adam will have a take, and we're like, okay, I think we're done. He's like, well, no, but...
Hold on! There's more!
I haven't said all I want to say. I don't think you're getting it yet.
I mean, I think the concern here is that there's many engagements that never actually make it all the way down the aisle. So, be careful.
That was worth waiting for.
That was ominous.
Wow.
Yeah. It's all bad.
Mark it. That's a promo.
There's still plenty of time to change your mind. And I say that to not only Kyrie Irving, but to everyone out there who's engaged right now.
Oh, okay.
You're not done yet.
So there was a higher cause here.
There's still time.
There's no happy ending. Love Adam.
Wait, I'm trying to think. Does he have anyone that he knows is engaged?
I think he's trying to warn us.
Was literally like, just at an engagement party this weekend.
But I'm very much in support of that one. There was a family member that you were upset with the way they spelled something. And
yeah, they spelled engagement wrong on their engagement party invitation, and I did not drop it. I pointed it out immediately, and then I went there, and I was like, do you think it's a bad sign for this marriage that you can't even get the engagement party invitation right?
That's our big five in a nutshell. That's big five real life.
He's like, all right, calling it.
And I was like, and by the way, you're a teacher. Like, get it together.
He just piled
on. Love you, cuz.
Number two.
Did you like what LeBron did with the All-Star team selection? It's quite fitting.
Well, I mean,
let's go. Anthony Davis, Kevin Durant, Kyrie Irving, Kawhi Leonard, Klay Thompson, all potential free agents or trade targets.
It's so transparent. I mean, it's great.
It's great.
It was perfect. Like, it could not have gone any better for LeBron to just say, like, yeah, you know what? This is what I'm going to do. And I think it was, first of all, it was obviously calculated as far as doing this. It was also, I think, a middle finger to the league and the all the quote-unquote tampering stuff.
Yeah, but how did this work out? Did he get with Giannis and say, hey, you know what? Stay out of the way on these guys. We're going to have fun with this.
Maybe. I mean, they did make a trade at the end.
Because it seemed like Greek Freak was ready to go, right? As they kind of mocked on the whole thing.
With my first pick in the second round, I'm going with Anthony Davis.
You sure you want him to be your teammate?
I'm very sure of that. is it that tampering?
No. Shots fired, and you're up.
Tampering rules does not apply on All-Star Weekend. Yeah.
That was good. Ernie Johnson stirs the pot. Greek Freak comes in, throws down the tampering line. LeBron's response was good. Doesn't apply.
Yeah, doesn't apply. Although I don't know if that's true. I mean, is he allowed to say whatever he wants on All-Star Weekend?
It is actually the most dangerous time for the NBA. He gets to chat up all these guys and recruit them face-to-face.
And I don't think – I will venture to guess the NBA did not see this coming. Like, I'm sure they thought there would be, you know, rivalries or, like, little winks and nudges with some of the selections. I don't think they ever thought they'd have a guy who's actively recruiting players and at the same time actively choosing all the free agents to be on his team at the All-Star Game.
Number one.
We never got to what I thought was the take of the week, or was it the most ridiculous take of the week, or the best take of the week? Jason Whitlock. Boy, they do. You know what? I really hand it to them. They're so much more talented than I'll say I am in coming up with embrace debate topics and like the hot take, hot shot stuff.
Well, there's a reason. It's because you actually look for honest things and real things and things you believe in, like I do.
Oh yeah, what a great job I'm doing. I don't want to make the money that Jason Whitlock does. They're actually brilliant. Jason Whitlock is brilliant. He may have sold his soul. Who cares? I'd never thought of this with LeBron James brooding at the end of the bench as they're getting annihilated by the Indiana Pacers. Like, I look at it as a competitor. I'm a massive sore loser. So don't read into it. It's an isolated moment. Cofield, the star basketball player, would sit at the end of the bench. Just irate. I would be so pissed off. But then we start playing the psych game because this is a great embrace debate topic. And Jason Whitlock came up with this whole thing about LeBron, the only child.
Upbringing and capability explain us all. That's why LeBron James is no mystery. He's an only child, an extremely talented one. Those two facts explain the current dysfunctional state of the Los Angeles Lakers. Those two facts explain why James sat at the end of the bench last night alone during a 42-point loss to the depleted Indiana Pacers. Those two facts explain why chaos and upheaval follow James from organization to organization. Those two facts separate James from Jordan. The king is an only child. It's really that simple. LeBron James grew up alone, an only child to a very young mother and no father in the home.
Okay. Is it really that simple?
I don't think
it seems like the least simple topic I've ever heard.
Of course.
How many only children do you know?
A few.
And are their lives chaotic? Are they selfish?
Selfish, yes. But I would say chaotic, maybe not. Definitely okay. Selfish.
You're oldest.
I am.
Okay, I'm middle. Chrissy?
Oldest.
Okay. What's bad about the oldest child? By the way, I don't think there is a blanket that you put over each.
There's certain characteristics.
Really?
I would say very independent for the most part.
I'll take it. Thank you.
Really?
Yeah. Like almost to a fault in a way.
Yeah.
Is that right?
Yeah,
because I think you're, like, if you're the oldest of multiple children, you're kind of forgotten about and you're just on your own. It's like, it's all, because you're done.
Because you're not the baby.
Yeah, then they're raising the younger ones.
What happens with the middle? That's me.
You're the Jim Brady, so.
No, that's if there's three kids, that's the last one. It's the baby. Whoever the youngest one is, the spoiled
brat. Middle is a disaster. Yeah, middle child syndrome?
Jim Brady syndrome. That is what that is.
Really?
Yeah. Well, sorry.
I'm a disaster.
What's your older sibling's name?
Paul.
Paul.
The middle child in my family is doing real well.
Damn it.
It's okay.
I don't want to be tied to Ryan Carl.
Hey, what's middle, wrong with Ryan Carl?
How long do we have left?
Here's more Whitlock on... he actually mentions, I don't know if this is true, but certain traits of the only child.
Like a lot of only children, LeBron is a high achiever, selfish, mature beyond his years, desperate for positive affirmation, independent, sensitive, stubborn to admit when he's wrong, and a creative thinker. Not all those characteristics are negative, but many of them are not ideal in a team sport, especially the need for praise.
Well, LeBron gets plenty of praise. I don't think there's a need for it.
I don't know. I live with an only child, and she's like anti on all those.
Yeah, I don't think
she doesn't need any praise. Yeah, she's actually like me. She almost hates praise. Deflects any kind of praise.
She's very independent.
She's very independent.
She does not need she does not search for validation or anything
Never.
At all.
Never.
She's like, give me my space.
Mm-hmm.
And you're like, okay.
That's why I think when you assign certain traits to oldest, middle, or youngest, or only.
There's always
the outliers.
There's exceptions.
Ooh, wow, we just finished each other's
sentence. So did Whitlock nail it or not?
No. I mean, it's
a great topic because you know that there were a ton of... It's a great crossover topic. There were a ton of people who read this, and they're like, I'm an only child. Screw you!
I think that there's generalities about certain, only children, middle children. There's generalities about all those things, and a lot of those things do fit LeBron. So, I mean, I think in this case, he has a decent explanation, but I think he's just absolutely searching for something, and he knew that this would be something that would catch fire. He does those things. He knows things that are going to catch on, and he plays to those.
Brilliantly said. Now I want to spend some time researching the oldest child, figure out what's wrong with you guys.
Oh, there's plenty.
Why they're...
That is so unlike you.
I know, right?
I did not see that coming.
All right, we got some good spots coming up. We're going to talk to Charlie Ebersole, who is the head of the Alliance of American Football. Brand new league, professional football league, starting off tomorrow with two games.
Finley Toyota. They'll do anything to sell you a car. No Toyota problem is too tough, too large, or too small. Keep your Toyota running like a Toyota. It's Cofield and Company on ESPN Las Vegas.
Brand new league, AAF. Starts off tomorrow. Chrissy's out with the viewing party. You heard about it. If you didn't, Tap Sports Bar, MGM. We had a chance earlier in the day to catch up with the boss of this whole thing, Charlie Ebersole, and started off with the obvious, man. This is incredible to start another professional football league. You got to be fired up.
It's a feeling that's actually really difficult to describe. I'm actually standing on the field in the Alamo Dome right now, and we've got a fully painted field, and they put all the banners up, and you're starting to get a sense of what it's going to look like when tens of thousands of people fill this place. And it's a feeling that after 3 years of work and having a dream come to fruition, it's truly remarkable and exciting.
You started out with how many employees?
Bill Polian and I had one employee 13 months ago, and today we're a little bit over 1,100.
Wow. All right, well, the games kick off on Saturday and Sunday. You can watch these games where?
You can watch them on CBS tomorrow night at 8 p.m. Eastern, so that's 5 p.m. In Vegas. And then we're doing a watch party at the MGM Grand at the Tap, where you can check out the first game, which is going to be the San Diego Fleet versus the San Antonio Commanders. And then following that game, Sunday night will be on NFL Network, and throughout the rest of the season, prime time on NFL Network Saturday and Sunday nights, and then Turner on Saturday afternoons and CBS SN on Sunday afternoons.
Sweet. So I want Charlie to tell the audience about the genesis of this whole thing and how it's going to work with the NFL, because I think every other professional league, I mean, hell, going back to the AFL, wanted to compete with the National Football League. That's not your goal.
No, absolutely not. One of the things that I find really remarkable about all the people who have done this before me is that their core idea was to compete with a company that had done $37 billion in revenue and basically had a chokehold on both the media and sports market. What we really want to do is not only be complementary, but really symbiotic to the overall company. And so what we focused on as a business was how to work with the NFL. Not only are we on the NFL Network as a partner, but we created something called the NFL Out in our contracts, which allow players to leave our league and go play in the NFL. The number one draft pick in our draft was Josh Johnson, and we released him to go play for the Washington Redskins. Similarly, one of our top picks was Garrett Gilbert, who played for the Panthers after we drafted him, and then he came back to us, and he's starting for Steve Spurrier's Apollos in Orlando. So we've really created a very give-and-take relationship with the NFL, which is the first of its kind.
The AAF kicks off tomorrow. Charlie Ebersole is the boss of the league. So I love all the business stuff, but for the audience, I want to get into a little football. You guys have tweaked the rules. So let's talk about some of the rule changes in this league. There's a couple of things on defense that I find fascinating. You've actually got limited pass rush, and there's also, like the NBA, an illegal defense penalty.
Yeah, but you're skating over what is by far the most popular thing to talk about today, which is we've added a ninth official called the Sky Judge, who is up in the box and is able to review plays in real time and weigh in on whether or not the egregiousness of the play should get a flag so we cannot have the NFC Championship happen. Bill Polian is my co-founder, who's widely considered one of the greatest team builders of the modern era, was adamant about creating a way to have a fair game without opening up subjectivity. You want every single play being reviewed, but you do want the ability to step in when something is clearly wrong and be able to say, no, this is wrong, we got to do something about it. The other rules are largely about safety, the defense rule you're talking about, as well as getting rid of the kickoff, which is not only fans' least favorite play, but it's also the most dangerous play. What we wanted to do is have a somewhat safer game while at the same time having a higher quality game, a game that people can enjoy a lot of offense and see really, really top-flight players. This is certainly the most skilled group of players that have ever been assembled for an alternative league in history. And then, of course, our coaches. Among our coaches and GMs, we have over 500 years of NFL experience. Mike Martz and Mike Singletary and Steve Spurrier, Rick Neuheisel, Dennis Erickson, all the coaches, the guys you know their names and you know their style of play.
One other rule I wanted to hit on, you guys have no onside kicks.
No, when you get rid of the kickoff, you got to get rid of the onside kick. And one of the things that we thought about was, what's the likelihood that you're going to be able to actually convert an onside kick? And what we discovered was, it's almost exactly the same likelihood of converting a 4th and 12. So we give you the ball on your own 28, and if you convert on 4th and 12, you get to keep it and march down the field. If you don't, the opposing team gets the ball knocking on your door.
It all opens up on Saturday. Games on Sunday. Orlando, Atlanta tomorrow. San Antonio and San Diego. Charlie Ebersole is on the horn here with Cofield and Company. The Tap Sports Bar over at the MGM is hosting a viewing party for opening night. Chrissy is going to be on the scene starting at 3 o'clock. You mentioned some of the big-name coaches. How important is that to the league? But also there's a balance here because other leagues that have tried, you know, professional football have brought in big-name coaches, but I think they've also broken the bank to bring them in. So there's kind of a delicate balance here.
Well, I mean, there's two sides to this. One side is we've really invested heavily in technology because our primary business after football is a much larger technology business. That's given us the ability to take a very different financial approach to this. The other side of it is a lot of our coaches are coaches that came because of Polian. And so they've been willing to take a leap into this where in the past they made you pay to lend their legend and lend their brand to a league. I would also argue that no league that's ever done this before has ever had the level of coaching that we have. I mean, you're talking about multiple Super Bowl champions. Every single coach in our league has NFL experience, which not only has never been done before, still isn't being done in the future by any of the other leagues. We really believe the key here is that we give fans what they want, which is more NFL-style football on Saturdays and Sundays.
Charlie, your background includes high-level TV producing, but you also worked with the White House on a project, and I think you're using the same concept in this league, right?
Yeah, one of the things that we focused on early on, and we've done it with a couple of White Houses, was focusing on veterans and how you can incorporate veterans getting jobs after they've served, because one of the challenges of being a veteran coming out of military service is that they actually have a really hard time getting jobs. So we worked on that. With athletes, it's a very similar thing. You talk about, we have over 70% of our players played in the NFL in the last 18 months. 78% of them have a 4-year degree to college. And yet most of them won't get real, normal, full-time employment after playing. So Troy Polamalu, who's our head of player relations, who put together an incredibly comprehensive medical plan for players that gets them and their families full medical. And we also offer a full scholarship, a 1-year scholarship for every year that you play in our league. But beyond that, we do job training and vocational training for every player in our league throughout the seasons so that they can be prepared for life after football. Because the truth of the matter is, whatever you do during your time in the NFL or the Alliance of American Football, it doesn't necessarily translate to the next career. And if you look at the players we brought in from the NFL, not only Troy Polamalu and Hines Ward, but Justin Tuck, Jared Allen, Ronnie Lott, all of these guys are the examples of what it can be if you actually commit to education and you take that next step after football. And we're very committed to that. We had a lot of success doing it with the veterans program, and we're very happy to say that so far we've had a great deal of success with our athletes.
The AAF has teams in Atlanta, Birmingham, Memphis, Orlando, San Diego, Salt Lake, San Antonio, and Arizona. You want a live gate. You want people at these games. Is there a break-even point? Do you have a goal in year one? Because we've seen so many leagues come out of the gates, you know, gangbusters with big attendance, and it drops off a little bit. What's the view on attendance at your stadiums versus TV? Because it almost seems like everything is about TV now.
We have very humble expectations, both TV and in terms of the gate. We want to grow. I think if anyone saw my 30 for 30 about the XFL, the story was that it fell apart, that they went from being the top of the mountain, falling all the way down to obviously nothing. They went from the highest rated Saturday night in 20 years to the lowest rated primetime show of all time. For us, we're focused on success today, that we want to grow. And so what you want to see is, I'd like to see, you know, good attendance the first couple of games. And then by the end of the season, I want to be talking about how we've grown that, because we've earned our audience and we've earned our fans. That's the business model we really care about.
Charlie, you envision down the road from a budget standpoint and the size of the league, making runs at guys like Kaepernick, Tebow, Johnny Manziel?
Our league isn't, you know, what's funny about this is one of the challenges, and the USFL is probably the best example of this, is if you go after names, if there are names that the NFL is interested in, ultimately you're going to lose. Because the NFL, is it like I said, they made $37 billion last year. So when you look at what their payroll can be and survive, you don't want to be in a betting, you don't want to be in a war like that. Additionally, you want the best available players that have the highest likelihood of success in our league, as well as potentially going back to the NFL. So you want players that are desired by both us and the NFL. And so we look at that quality of play as being one of the core constituencies.
Charlie Ebersol is with us. We buried the lead. There is a Vegas tie-in here with the AAF, and that is we have the title game, right?
We have a title game in Las Vegas, yep, at UNLV Stadium. I think one of the things that we're most excited about is coming home to Vegas. I think our relationship with MGM has been extraordinary. They're not only one of our largest investors, but a long-term sponsorship partner. But beyond all of that, one of the things we're building on our technology side, hopefully, is a way to revolutionize the gaming industry around sports. And so it's only natural that you go to the mecca of all gaming in Las Vegas and you play your championship game there.
So in closing, how does the head of a football league, a professional football league, embrace Vegas and also embrace sports betting? Because there are numbers on the board. I can also bet who's going to win the title. Hell, Charlie, this is not great for you, but I can also bet over-under on survival of the league. So how do you handle this? Because, you know, hey, that's what offshores do sometimes. How do you handle this? Because obviously Roger Goodell has to, well, he's chosen to walk that fine line and, you know, sort of be at a distance from gaming. But you guys are embracing sports betting.
Yeah, what we're doing is we're embracing experts in that area. One of the things that we realized is I am not an expert in football. Bill Polian is, so I let him do that. I'm not an expert in data technology. My head of technology, Eric Schwartz, is, and so we let him run that. On my side of things with gaming, there are very few companies that are bigger and certainly better than MGM, and so we made MGM a major partner of ours, and they're going to help drive us through the future. But ultimately, we are not a gambling company, so we don't partake or participate in that as much as we've built a business around it. And look, I think you have to embrace what gaming is bringing to the universe, but you have to do it in a careful way. The integrity of the game obviously matters the most to us, and so we've spent a lot of time building systems to protect what the league is all about.
We know you're a busy guy. You got a league on tap going down tomorrow, so we appreciate the time, and we'll see you here around the title game in late April. This is a great way to close out the week. You know, UNLV introduced the Faithful Fan Program, and we had a chance to talk to one of the folks from RAF and get into this as Blair DeBoer joined us and explained the genesis of this whole thing as UNLV's rewarding loyalty with the fans.
Yeah, thanks. Thanks for having me on, Steve. It's great to talk to the fans in the city of Las Vegas about it. But so this all started in December. We surveyed our Rebel Athletic Fund members and our season ticket holders and asked a lot of things, but one of the things that we needed to know about was price, and we wanted to know what their concerns were. And what we found out was the majority of our respondents were really concerned about paying a lot higher price for seats in Las Vegas Stadium. And so we kind of took that, and that was of considerable concern for us because we want to convert as many people, and we want to be fair in this process and transparent with it. So we launched this Faithful Fan pricing structure, and basically what it is, become a season ticket holder in 2019, and you will get the best price for 2020 in Las Vegas Stadium. So, you know, same price per game. We have 7 home games in 2020, so there'll be a slight increase, but basically similar viewing angles that you have in Sam Boyd, you'll get that same price per game for similar viewing angles in Las Vegas Stadium.
So from a price point standpoint, we're talking season tickets now are between $99 and I think it's $230 at the top end, and so you're going to basically give the 2019 price, apply it to this brand spanking new stadium for the same exact numbers.
Yeah, and it's going to be per game. So the season ticket price altogether will go up a little bit, but it won't go up much. So we're $305 to $99 right now with a Faithful Fan price with the 7th game added. It's $350 to $115. So I mean that's a pretty good deal in terms of you're going from Sam Boyd to a domed $2 billion stadium in 2020. We came up with this, and we took a chance on it because we want to reward loyalty and the steadfast support of some people that have been behind our football program for a long time.
And full disclosure, we're talking to Blair DeBoard from UNLV's RAF. Full disclosure on this, you also are asking people to be part of the Rebel Athletic Fund. Talk about the numbers on that and why it's beneficial to be part of RAF.
Yeah, absolutely. So, I mean, that's a big part of the engine that runs this athletic department for us. And all the money that we raise in the Rebel Athletic Fund supports student-athlete enhancement initiatives. So whether that's, you know, things like food and strength and conditioning or, you know, really anything, like we just hired a new sports psychologist to help our student-athletes deal with things performance-based and otherwise. So, I mean, it's a big part of enhancing the UNLV student experience.
So when and where can fans start buying 2019 season tickets?
So you can buy them right now. We started yesterday. We launched our update 702-895-FANS. That's the easiest way to do it. Call in, ask for the 2019 pricing, pick a section that you like, or you can go on unlvtickets.com to do that as well. So we urge anybody that is interested in supporting the Rebels in 2020 to jump on this great deal because it's a great way for us to get some people on board and get them to know our football program and know some of the players and what they can see or expect when we move in 2020.
Blair, let's close with something you started with, and this is, I think, really vital. You guys want dialogue from the fans. You're running series of surveys. Is there a survey going on right now? Is there one coming up? You want to hear from the fans on this stadium moving forward, just beyond this initial pricing.
Yeah, absolutely. So we launched the one in December. We wanted to know what our fans currently are interested in or what scares them, things like that. But we also, we're really fortunate at UNLV. We have a world-renowned pricing expert that works on campus, Dean Stillshoemaker. He's done a great job with us, and he kind of volunteered his services as we were launching our first survey and just said, hey, I'd like to help whenever I could. And so we identified, like, all right, we're going to do this Faithful Fan pricing. We want to help our current season ticket holders, but Dean Shoemaker is going to help us price the 2020 season tickets for new season ticket holders. So people can expect some other surveys coming out here, in the next few months. And then we'll have some, have some pricing in the summertime or in the fall for new season ticket holders for 2020. But, Stowe's a great guy, and we're really fortunate to have somebody that has worked with people like Taco Bell and British Airways, and to have him on our team helping us navigate this uncharted territory has been really helpful for us.
I don't want to overstep, but I will relay a question that I've gotten from fans that should go on a survey in the future. Parking and how do folks get to the stadium? I think that's going to be something really big to get feedback on.
Yeah, that's true. The parking question was the other thing that we got on our surveys initially, is like, that's the thing that everybody wants to know about. So we're working closely with the Raiders to figure out exactly what that looks like for us. But you know, we're going to have some premium seats that will have parking included, and then we'll just kind of go from there in terms of what we can do, where we can put you know, tailgating areas, and make it just we want to make it a great college football environment. And we're fortunate on our staff to have a lot of folks that have been a lot of different places and seen some great tailgating environments. So that's one of our goals when we move into 2020. We don't just want to move into this stadium and just play the game, right? We want it to be an awesome experience from when you get on site for the stadium and for the game until you leave.
There you go. Blair DeBoard popping on with us from RAF. You missed a part of the interview where I demanded a parking spot at the new stadium. I was kidding, of course. So, basic gist, you buy season tickets for UNLV football this coming season. You get season tickets for the 2020 season in the new stadium for the same exact price. That is freaking ridiculous. Same per game price. Really, really cool. Here's what we got going on tomorrow. So, we've got Tyler Bischoff on campus. Pregame show for UNLV basketball starting at 12:30. Game time is 2 o'clock. Fresno's in town to take on the Rebels. And then Chrissy is going to be at the MGM at Tap the Sports Bar, AAF viewing party, brand new football league. There is a San Diego team. There are UNLV players who are on the San Diego team, so that's very cool. So go out and hang out with Chrissy at the MGM tomorrow, starting at 3 o'clock. Have a great weekend. We'll see you back on the